Let's break this down. If you want to sell an electric airplane, you have a problem that has nothing to do with the airplane. You can build the most efficient electric aircraft in the world, and it is useless sitting on a ramp where there is nowhere to plug it in. The airport has a fuel truck. It does not have a charger. Not one that can move the kind of energy an aircraft battery needs, and not one that speaks the same language your airplane speaks. So here's the question I want to sit with today. What happens when an electric aircraft company looks at that problem, and instead of waiting for someone else to solve it, decides to go build the chargers first? I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct here on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking about a company out of Vermont called Beta Technologies, an airplane named Aelia, and a bet that the infrastructure is the actual product. Let's get into it. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, one coin at a time. Beautifully made, built to last, and the kind of thing you actually want to hand to someone. That's AviationSoul.com now. Beta Technologies, most people, when they hear electric aviation, they picture the flying taxi, the little multi-rotor thing lifting straight up off a downtown rooftop, whisking you over traffic. That's the image the industry has been selling for a decade. Beta started in that world too. But somewhere along the way, the engineers in Vermont made a choice that set them apart from almost everyone else in the field. They decided to build two airplanes, not one. Here's what most people miss. Beta's flagship aircraft, Aelia, comes in two versions that share most of the same parts. There's a version that takes off and lands vertically, like a helicopter, using lift rotors. They call that one the A250. And there's a version with no lift rotors at all. It has a wing, it has a pusher propeller on the back, and it takes off and lands on a runway like a normal airplane. They call that one the CX300. Same fuselage, same battery, same cockpit, same electric motors driving the flight. The difference is whether you bolt on the four vertical lift rotors or not. Now, why would you do that? Why build the boring one, the conventional takeoff airplane, when the whole promise of this industry is vertical flight over cities? The data tells an interesting story, and the answer is certification. Let me explain what I mean. When you want to fly a new type of aircraft for money, carrying cargo or passengers, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has to certify it. They have to agree that the design is safe, that it's built the way you said it's built, and that the people flying it are trained correctly. For a conventional airplane, even an electric one, the FAA has decades of experience. They have a rulebook. They know how a wing behaves. They know how to test a propeller airplane. The path is hard, but it's a known path for a vertical takeoff aircraft that transitions to wing-borne flight. The path is not known. It's genuinely new. The FAA has been writing the rules for those aircraft basically in real time, alongside the companies trying to build them. That's slow. That's uncertain. And uncertainty is expensive when you're burning through investor money every month. So Beta's move was this: get the conventional airplane certified first, the CX300, because it's the easier regulatory path and because it lets you start flying real missions, earning real revenue, and proving the electric powertrain in the real world years before the vertical version is ready. And here's the elegant part. Because the two aircraft share the same powertrain, the same battery, the same motors, every hour you fly the conventional one is an hour of data on the parts the vertical one also uses. You're de-risking the hard airplane by flying the easy airplane. That is systems thinking. That is engineering discipline. And in an industry full of companies promising the moon, it's refreshingly honest about how hard this actually is. Let's talk about the airplane itself.
Aelia is a good-sized machine, wingspan around 50 feet, which is bigger than you might expect. Room inside for a pilot and up to five passengers, or a stack of cargo. The design brief came from an unusual place. The story goes that an early requirement was set by looking at the Arctic tern, a bird that migrates enormous distances on remarkably little energy. Now, I always take the biomimicry origin stories with a grain of salt, because engineering is engineering, and marketing is marketing. But the underlying point is real. This aircraft is designed around efficiency. Long, clean wing, minimal drag. Get the most range you possibly can out of every kilowatt hour in the battery, and range, let's be honest, is the hard ceiling on all of this. Here's the physics, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Jet fuel is an astonishing way to store energy. Pound for pound, Aviation fuel holds something like 40 to 50 times more usable energy than the best lithium battery you can buy today. 40 to 50 times? That is not a small gap. That is a canyon. Every electric aircraft engineer wakes up every morning staring across that canyon. What that means in practice is that an electric airplane carries a heavy battery that stores a modest amount of energy. And when that energy is gone, you're done. You can't splash in another 40 gallons in 2 minutes. You land and you charge. So the missions that make sense for electric aviation right now are short missions, regional hops, cargo runs between airports 100, 150 miles apart. Training flights, not transcontinental, not yet. Maybe not for a very long time.
And this is where I get frustrated with some of the hype in this space. You'll hear people talk about electric aircraft like they're about to replace the airliner. They're not. The battery physics simply does not allow it today. Anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. But here's the flip side, and this is the part the skeptics miss. There's a huge amount of real aviation that happens in that short-range window. Feeder cargo, medical transport, island hopping, pilot training, where an airplane does the same 45-minute pattern work over and over. For those missions, the economics of electric are genuinely compelling. Electricity is cheap compared to avgas. An electric motor has a handful of moving parts instead of hundreds. No spark plugs to foul, no oil to change, no cylinders to overhaul. The maintenance story alone is worth paying attention to. So the honest framing is this. Electric aviation isn't going to eat all of aviation. It's going to start by eating the short, repetitive, predictable missions where the airplane comes home to the same base every night. And it'll grow outward from there as the batteries slowly, slowly improve. Now let's get back to the charger, because this is the part of the beta story I find the most interesting, and it's the part almost nobody talks about. Remember the problem we opened with? You land your beautiful electric airplane at an airport and there's nowhere to plug it in. Beta looked at that and did something that on paper sounds insane for a startup. They started building a network of charging stations, physical chargers, installed at real airports, up and down the east coast of the United States and beyond. Bricks and steel and high voltage cable, at airport after airport, before the airplanes were even certified to use them. Think about what that costs. Think about the patience that requires. But think about the logic. Here's the analogy I'd use, and it's one every pilot understands. Imagine the very first airplanes rolling out, and there's no such thing as an airport. No runways, no fuel, no tie downs. Nowhere to go, the airplane is a miracle, and it's also useless, because the ground infrastructure to support it doesn't exist. Somebody has to build the airports before the airplanes have anywhere to fly.
That's the bet med. That bet that. That's the bet made. If you want electric aviation to be real, somebody has to build the electric airports. And rather than wait around and hope a utility company or a fuel supplier does it, Beta decided to be that somebody. And they made a smart engineering decision inside that bet. Their chargers aren't locked to only their own aircraft. They built them around an open charging standard. The same general family of fast charging technology used in electric cars and trucks, adapted for aircraft. That means, in principle, a charger Beta installs could serve other companies' electric aircraft too. Why does that matter? Because a charging network is only valuable if it's used. A gas station that only serves one brand of car is a bad business. A gas station that serves everybody is infrastructure. Beta is trying to build infrastructure, not a walled garden. And whether or not the whole industry adopts their standard, that instinct, make it open, make it shared, is exactly right for something that's supposed to become as common as a fuel pump. There's a second-order benefit here too, and it's the systems thinker in me talking. Those chargers can charge more than airplanes. A high-power aviation charger sitting at a regional airport can also top off electric ground vehicles. Tugs, trucks, cars, so the infrastructure has value even in the years before the electric aircraft fleet is large. It's not a stranded asset waiting for airplanes. It's earning its keep on day one. That's how you survive the long, slow ramp of a hard technology. You build things that are useful before the main event arrives. Let me give you the honest timeline, because I promised balance. Beta has flown Aelia for real, not a render, not a scale model. The full-size aircraft has flown, and the conventional takeoff version has done long cross-country flights under its own electric power, moving between airports, charging along that network they built. That's not vaporware, that's aluminum and lithium and real flight hours. They've also been working with the United States military, which has been evaluating these aircraft, for logistics and training roles.
Military interest is useful for a startup because it brings funding and flight time without waiting on full civilian certification.
But!
And you knew there was a but. Full FAA certification for carrying paying passengers is still ahead of them, not behind them. The conventional airplane is further along and is the near-term story. The vertical takeoff version, the one that captures everyone's imagination, is further out. Certifying a brand new category of aircraft takes years, and the timelines in this industry have slipped before. Every eVTOL company that promised you an air taxi by a certain year has moved that year, at least once, beta included. So when you hear a date attached to any of this, hold it loosely, and there are real open questions I'm not going to pretend are solved. Battery life is one. Those batteries degrade with every charge cycle, and fast charging them hard, which is exactly what a busy commercial operation would do, tends to wear them out faster. Replacing a giant aircraft battery pack is expensive, and how often you have to do it goes straight to whether the economics actually work. Nobody has a decade of real-world fleet data on that yet, because the fleets don't exist yet. Cold weather is another. Batteries hate cold, they lose range in it, and a lot of the regional flying in this country happens in places that get genuinely cold. These aren't reasons the technology fails. They're reasons to be patient and to watch the real numbers as they come in, instead of the press release numbers. So where does that leave us? Here's my honest read. Beta Technologies is one of the more grounded companies in a field that has struggled with its own hype. The decision to build the conventional airplane first, to share the powertrain across both versions, to build the charging network ahead of the fleet, and to make that network open rather than proprietary. All of that is the behavior of engineers who understand that you win this game by surviving long enough to be right, not by making the boldest promise, by making the most survivable plan. The battery canyon is still there. It's not closing fast. Electric aviation is going to live in the short-range world for a long time. And anybody who tells you the electric airliner is around the corner is not being straight with you. But in that short-range world, there's a real business, real efficiency, real quiet, and real reductions in operating cost. And the company that already built the chargers is going to be very well positioned when the airplanes are finally ready to plug in. The airport before the airplane. It's a strange way to build an aviation company. It might also be the right one. My thanks to Beta Technologies for the details on Elia and their charging work, and to the FAA's ongoing certification updates for the regulatory picture. If you want the show notes and past segments, they're at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep an eye on the infrastructure, not just the airplane. That's usually where the real story is. See you next time on Clear Direct.